Welcome to the Mindset Evolution podcast, powered by Self-Recoding, world-class consulting and coaching services that you can access at selfrecoding.com. Self-Recoding is a unique blend of neurohealing modalities that will empower you to reach your full potential. Join thousands of others who have experienced rapid results in their journey of personal growth. Now enjoy our show where we bring you tools for a powerful mind with your hosts, Cathy Tate and Daisy Papp.
And hello everybody and welcome back to another exciting episode of Bald and Blonde Mindset Evolution, the podcast that gives you tools for a powerful mind. I'm your host from Australia, Cathy Tate. With me from America, my podcast partner, Daisy Papp. Hi, Daisy.
Hello, my dear friend. You are my podcast partner from down under and my dear friend. Yes, I don't know in which order. I think both happened step by step. And that's lovely.
It sure is.
What's up your sleeves? I know, I see you and you don't have sleeves on today, but I know that you're capable of having up something your sleeves without even having sleeves.
Yes, up my invisible sleeves. Today, we're going to have a bit of a juicy discussion, I think. So we'll jump right in. We're going to talk about cohabitation, which in layman's terms is living together.
Okay, if that's what you wish to talk about, then that's what we will talk about. Nevertheless, let me ask you, are we talking about parent-child because the child has no choice most of the time? Or are we talking about elderly cohabiting with their youngsters because they no longer can live by themselves?
Well, both of those are interesting scenarios that are included in the topic because they do involve cohabitation. But I do want to focus on romantic relationships because I feel like they're the place where we all could do with some guidance and inspiration. Because cohabiting with somebody who's not your family, who you haven't grown up with, can be very challenging because often we are very different from one another, having not been brought up in the same family. At least when you're brought up in the same family, you're brought up with the same set of values, the same set of norms, the same set of lessons, the same guidance from your parents, for the most part. I am generalizing. But you get my point that if we're in a family together, say you and your son or me and my mother, we're very familiar with each other because we've known each other all our lives. And we're very, in my case anyway, we're very open and honest and relaxed because we know each other so well and we can look past things and know that whatever happens day to day, we are family and we have a deep love for each other and we want the best for each other. And that governs the way we act towards each other. Now, when you're cohabiting with somebody who's not from your family, and that is the case when it's a romantic partner, but this could perhaps even just include a scenario where you've got flatmates. It's much harder because we have different experiences, different values, different upbringings. And so that's why I want to talk about it, because getting through those differences and how you do that can really strengthen or weaken a relationship.
Okay. Well, I'd like to be upfront. These are my opinions that I'm sharing. I'm not saying this is the way it should be or this is the way it should not be. I can only share what I know because I don't know what I don't know. So I can solely speak from my point of view and based on some experience that I have.
Cohabiting.
Like everyone else has acquired their experiences. Well, I think it is a good idea to have a look at the why. So why shall we look at the why first? Because there are different motives. For example, there can be an economic motive because renting a place is quite expensive, owning a place is quite expensive and it's costly. So why would I own or rent a place all for myself, by myself? Maybe I could share cost. Now, I go back to a very simple rule I live by, clear agreements and clear boundaries. And I think that is something that applies to maybe not all, but most areas in our lives, clear agreements and clear boundaries. And I think we can end this episode now because I really feel on the spot.
Well, I would definitely think clear agreements and clear boundaries are super important. And I think also often missed. Now, I say that because as younger people, we don't always realize that these things are needed in a relationship. Because we're caught up in the romantic aspect, or we're caught up in love, and we all know that the first 3 months of a relationship is what we would call the honeymoon period, because you're still not really being completely yourself just yet, because you're still figuring out that newness of the relationship. So we get past that and down the track and we're in love, and one of them says, will you move in with me? I want to see you every day, every day. Which in theory sounds wonderful and romantic and loving and fabulous, but the reality isn't always the same as that wishful thinking that goes along with the spurt of love that starts the idea of wanting to cohabitate. And if you skip the step of clear agreements and clear boundaries, all sorts of mess can happen, because there isn't what we spoke about in a recent episode I call the meeting of the minds. And this is especially important, in my opinion, in a cohabitation situation, because if you don't have those boundaries, you don't have that space for yourself, you can get very caught up in being a couple and kind of start losing a bit of that who you are as an individual. And I think that is really common in relationships. It's something that I did when I was younger and that I've seen a lot of people do. And I think now I'm older and wiser about it, I think it's super important to still keep that independence and to keep that sense of self and the importance of doing things for you and not just for the couple.
Then we are simply back to the two columns, metaphorically, and a roof. So the two partners are each a column, metaphorically, and the roof is the relationship. The roof can only be held up by healthy columns. So I think it is very misleading in many old literature. It's possible to discover that, oh, become one flesh, or they become one. I think this is misleading. Maybe back in the days I didn't live there. Back then, or at least I don't have memory of it. Maybe back then there was a reason why that was important, but I think nowadays it's not the right flashlight pointing in the right way where things can work. I'm not trying to compare humans to animals. Nevertheless, whoever had a pet before, let's say a cat or a dog, because they are the most dominant pets that humans have when we look at statistics, then it was very clear, okay, the cat can sleep on the bed or cannot sleep on the bed. The dog can go with me to work or cannot go with me to work. The dog is allowed to bark or not allowed to bark. The dog is allowed to chew the shoelaces or not allowed to chew the shoelaces. So there was very clear most times that I'm aware of that there were specific rules implied and then people stuck to them more or less. For example, yes, you cannot sleep with a pet. Yes, little Johnny or little Susan, you get a pet, but then you will be feeding the pet and then you will be walking the dog and you will be petting the cat and you will be cleaning up after them. And then maybe the kids were just learning the responsibilities of that pet. But that's not what I'm leading to. I'm leading to the clear boundaries and clear agreements, because when they are not in place, then oftentimes it happens that people may adopt a pet and then they realize, oh, wow, I wasn't ready for this. So I'm not comparing humans to animals. Absolutely not, to be very clear here. Nevertheless, I think it is a good concept to learn from, because, okay, Kathy, I'm moving in with you. What are the clear boundaries and what are the rules and what are the agreements?
Yeah. And I think that's a smart way to do it. And right now, my mum and I live together, and that's what we have done. We've discussed what each of us need individually in order to make this work. And so we've got those, what I would call sort of ground rules mm-hmm. governing how we live together. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's working very well because we're both respectful and give each other our own space and have figured out how to walk that line between being in each other's face too much and ensuring we have our own independence, because neither of us are used to living with each other or other people, even for that matter, because it's been a while, definitely for Mum, to have needed to live with somebody else. That's how we started, and it's worked really well. And that's made me also realize what was lacking in other cohabitation scenarios that personally I have been in a few. I'm not going to put a number to it, but a few, more than a couple. And each one has been quite different. But I have to say that in almost all of them, we didn't do this step and it made life a lot harder. Mm. I think that if you can start from a place of agreement about what you need and what the other person needs, whatever relationship's going on, this works for flatmates just as much as it works for two people wanting to cohabitate when they're in love.
We call them roommates here.
Oh, okay. Roommates, flatmates, same thing yes. for us. They're interchangeable terms. Mm-hmm. But yes, especially important to have those sort of ground rules going in, I think, because that can stop a lot of angst later, a mm-hmm. lot of arguments, mm-hmm. a lot of disagreements, a lot of frustration. And then the other thing that I would urge is to not make assumptions. I think this is super important when it comes to living with somebody, because that can really blow up in your face if you have assumptions and a lack of communication / lack of agreement. Then it could go very bad very quickly.
Well, I think the rules are always the same. It's so simple. First of all, know what you want. Admit to what you want, then vocalize and verbalize what you want clearly, say what you mean what you say, and then agree upon clear agreements and clear boundaries. I think this is so simple when we use that. It's like gravity. Gravity functions, to me at least, wherever I went on this planet so far, gravity was there. I didn't levitate yet. When I fell, maybe 4 milliseconds, I may have been levitating or appeared levitating before I hit the ground. Nevertheless, it is universal. And I think when we understand that it is universal, healthy, wherever you live, whatever culture you come from, whatever your age, whatever your interests, whatever your likes and dislikes, I think these are rules. They're very universal. And like the Chilean economist who found out, Manfred Max Neefer, he found out about the universal needs. No matter your gender, no matter your age, no matter your faith, no matter your geographics, no matter your cultural background or economic background, there are 9 universal needs that apply to all humans. And I think when it comes to relationships, there are also some universal, not laws, because I don't really like the word law in this aspect, but they're rules or they are guidelines.
Let's call them guidelines.
Yeah, I like it.
Jinx.
Yeah. They're guidelines that we can follow. And when we follow these guidelines, then they can prevent me from pretending that I'm a butterfly, although gravity is active on planet Earth. So it helps me not hitting my face on the ground. I think it is important. And when we look at it in schools and in education overall, this is not taught. And I think the statistics towards failure of relationships and cohabiting stems partially from not speaking about it and stems partially from not educating ourselves. It's not about educating others. It's about educating ourselves. And I understand that in different eras, cohabiting and cohabitation was based on different rules because times change and eras change. We live in a very different world than 20 years ago or 50 years ago or 150 years ago. So maybe what was opportune today might have not worked 50 or 150 years ago, and what was opportune back then might not be opportune any longer.
Yeah, definitely. And I would go as far to say is that generations ago, even if we go back one generation and further, that the rules that society put in place around cohabitation were very different from what they are now. And I think as we've evolved as a society, then I think those rules also need to evolve. Let's just briefly say that marriage 100 years ago was a very different scenario to today. Women couldn't even own property or vote. And so being married was almost essential because everything had to be done through their husband's name. Now, thankfully, that has changed. But what else has changed is that the scenarios for women, we have more power over what we want now, whether we're cohabitating or not, because of the societal rules around that have radically changed. But I don't think that changes the need for what we're saying here, the agreements and boundaries. Now, back then, the other person you're cohabitating with, societal norms probably would have said they didn't care what your boundaries or your own needs were because it worked quite differently. You were expected to marry somebody and often it was arranged and that was just the way it was.
Still is in many areas of the world today.
Yes. And there wasn't a way to get back out of that either. It was for life. Now, things are very different now, and the nature of that has some repercussions in that things are not as permanent as they used to be. It's much easier to leave. It's much easier to undo the cohabitation. And I'm obviously talking about a romantic partnership scenario when I say that. Divorce is more prevalent than it's ever been, but for different reasons, not all bad. And we're no longer trapped. We have choices now.
Not in all cultures, Kathy.
Okay, I am coming from my own experience and talking majorly about my culture, and I appreciate that we're in a lot of countries that have a lot of different cultures. So I'm not trying to push this on any other culture. I'm simply speaking from my experience with my culture, and things have changed quite radically. I can't really speak to other cultures I have not lived in or had extensive conversations about. I only can speak to what I know. And in my culture, things have radically changed. We have a lot more choices. But the point of that is that we have more power for ourselves and we have the power to set agreements and boundaries. And we have the right to do that. And that is now understood and accepted. Look, I grew up not even knowing what a boundary was. I didn't learn about boundaries until I was well into my 30s. Nobody taught me. And if that's my scenario, it's going to be the scenario for other people too. I'm definitely not that unique in this world. So that's where I'm coming from when I talk about things like this. It's in the hope that my own mistakes or lessons will help somebody out there who is going through it right now and doesn't know these things. And this could be the thing that helps them go figure it out better for themselves. But you are quite right. There are a lot of cultures where things haven't changed a lot and where there isn't as much individual freedom as we enjoy, certainly in my culture. So.
Well, I think taking an inventory is a good idea because not everything in one culture is bad and not everything in one other culture is good. I think when we look at, oh, this is very kind. This is a nice idea. This is something that I find value in. This is why the mix of cultures can be so fruitful because we can learn from one another. Oh, this works there. Of course, I live in South Florida. Things are different climately than if I lived in Alaska or in Norway or South Pole, let's say. So that is very different, but we can still learn from one another. Although I don't have a fireplace, I can learn from someone who has a fireplace because it makes sense because they live where they have long winters. When we are open to learn and exchange, then we all win. And I can then adjust and I can accept and I can adopt and adapt to other ideas. Now, also when it comes to cohabitation, because what works for me may not work for you. What works for you may not work for me. What works in Florida may not work in South Africa or in Australia or in Japan or in India or in Pakistan, or let's not forget South America, any culture we could go to. So I think it is very subjective. And what it requires is that I am aware of what I want. I had a long conversation today with a German client, and she just broke up with someone she cohabitated with. And she realized that there were many signs that showed very clearly that maybe it's not such a good idea to move in together, but they did anyways. And now the ignorance ended because it was so in their face, they could no longer ignore it. And now they break up and they end the cohabitation. Now, when we are more prepared, how can we be more prepared? Ourselves. I'd like us to do an episode on life sentence, not in a legal way, but I have a life sentence with myself. I cannot escape myself. You have a life sentence with yourself. You cannot escape yourself. You may be mad and nasty at me, or you can be mad and nasty at your cat, or you can be mad at your cat and nasty with your cat. But you are you and you are with you. You cannot escape that. So when you're upset with you, then what do you do with it? So when we are more prepared and we focus on self-development, becoming a better us individually, and then all the better us's meet, then we have better societies. I don't think that there's a way around that. I'm blonde and I admit I only know what I know, and I do not know what I don't know because I cannot possibly know what I don't know yet. That's how I see it today. And by no means am I trying to teach anyone. I'm not a teacher. I share what works for me and I share my observations, especially when it comes to a topic like this.
Yeah, look, I think that no matter what situation, relationship-wise, we're talking about, there are many ways to cohabitate. As I said, with your family, with roommates, with a romantic partner, there are many, many ways where we end up in the scenario, in-laws, that's a good one, in the scenario where we need to cohabitate with other people. It is actually rare that you get to live all on your own, and some people may or may not like that, and it may or may not be their preference. But the important thing is that when we do cohabitate, we have to, one, know what it is we want, and then they have to do the same for themselves. And that's a starting point you can't avoid. Because if you don't know what you do want, how are you going to know what is out of bounds? How are you going to make those boundaries if you don't know what you want? So that's definitely our starting point, is knowing, figuring out what it is you want and also what you don't want to occur. Then you've got the information needed to talk about an agreement and those boundaries that are so important. And then, of course, next step is sticking to them. That's a bit of a promise too, because how many scenarios have you heard of or worked with people or seen or heard about where there have been an agreement and clear boundaries and one of the parties or maybe even both of the parties has broken those because of an argument?
But then the question is, how do you address it? That's the next step. So when it comes to cohabitation, yep, I think the first step is that you like to live with you because you have that life sentence. Therefore, make sure that you like you, that you are a likable human based on your values, based on your needs, based on your ideas, based on your characteristics, based on what is important to you, based on your likes. And when you do that for you and wherever you go, you will find your tribe, or you will find, in German language, they have a saying, the lid to a pot. So it's a good fit. And there is the right pot or the right lid out there for you. But I think it is so important that I like me, because when I like me, I will be a better me wherever I live. And when I am the better me, wherever I go, I bring that with me. So it again goes back to the self-reflection, and I'm not speaking about egotistic or egoistical tendencies. But when I don't like me, you and I, we can live in the most beautiful mansion wherever in this world. When I don't like me, tendency of being miserable is quite high. Same with you.
Yeah, definitely. And we have done many episodes about just that.
I think it comes back to that.
Yes.
I think whatever topic we are going to produce from now on will end with exactly that point. It becomes more and more clear to me after 3 years, 3 years plus.
Well, the same. I find us circling back to the same values and standards that we have spoken about this whole time.
Yeah.
And I'm glad about that, because what it proves is there's a consistent set of standards that you can live by and have an amazing life and feel good about yourself whilst being a productive and happy and fulfilled member of our societies. And I think that's important. It's definitely worth sharing that there are these common values and standards that we live by, or that you and I have decided to live by, and are sharing our experiences around that with our audience. And we do believe it will inspire people to take control of their own lives so that they can themselves be happier with who they are and what is going on in their own life, and that it is their choice. And so I'm very grateful for this platform and the opportunity to talk about these things every single week. And yes, we often do come back to the same points, but I hope from a very different direction in every conversation so that it's pertinent to people's lives, because this life is not a breeze. It can be tough. It can be challenging, and other people can challenge us so much. And the more tools we have, the more equipped we are to deal with that and not let it affect us in a negative way.
I agree. Yeah.
So that is what we hope for you, dear listeners, in our 99 countries around the world. I'm very excited to see who's going to be country number 100. Mm-hmm. So, dear listeners, please share with a family or friend who isn't in your own country, and let's see if we can hit that 100 before the end of the year. Very excited about that.
I have a bet with a friend.
Oh, you do?
Let's see who wins.
Ah, nice. I like it. Well, that's it from Bald and Blonde this week. We'll be back again next week. As always, we are super reliable with another great conversation that we hope inspires you. Please do visit us at baldandblonde.live. You can send us a message. You can support us. You can give us episode ideas or ask questions, whatever it is you need. Do visit us there. And please also make sure you visit our major sponsor, selfrecoding.com, if you would like some extra help. That's it from us today. We'll see you soon. We are Bald and Blonde.
Mindset Evolution. Talk to you next time. Thank you for listening in to the Bald and Blonde Mindset Evolution podcast. Please share our show with your family and friends. Together, we make this world a better place for you, for us, for future generations. When you need consulting or coaching, visit selfrecoding.com. Also, please remember to rate us 5 stars and leave a review, and support us at baldandblonde.live. Talk to you soon.